Chapter 15.
Abigail held her favorite cottage piece and ran her fingers over the inscription. Ask, and you will receive if you believe and don't doubt. The double-minded receive nothing. Persevere. The colors of this piece had so often dazzled her. The words had motivated her, fortified her. But in this moment, they were nothing but etchings on a splintered block of wood. She strained her eyes. Not a hint of color. I've gone blind. The piece dropped from her hand and disappeared in the grass. None of the inscriptions she remembered from the cottage seemed real anymore. Gabor joined Karis in defending Abigail, but the other friends were also being overrun. Less than an hour into the battle, the cottage pieces Kaelin held in each hand both fell to the earth. Adam, Watson, Laith, even Charles faltered. One piece after another tumbled from their grasp. With the humans disarmed, the Guardian's task went from difficult to impossible. Kaelin cried out from beneath a pile of frenzied warriors. Gabor flew to him, soared in a blur, and scattered the warriors like leaves in a tornado. But this attracted the prince's attention. Just as Kaelin regained his feet, the prince struck both guardians to the ground. With lightning-fast defensive maneuvers, Gabor lured the prince away. But then more warriors fell upon Kaelin.
Fall back,
Gabor ordered, as he rocketed westward with the prince in pursuit. Three other guardians flew straight upward, then stopped above the clearing and drew their swords. Adramelech pointed overhead and gave the order. Brace! He cursed himself for giving up such an advantage. He had expected the three to retreat, not to claim a strategic attack position from above. Now every warrior, including himself, was vulnerable. The warriors arrayed in a practiced defensive stance. Half gathered in a tight cluster with swords and lances raised upward. The rest formed a perimeter around the cluster to keep the guardians on the ground at bay. But rather than attacking, the guardians on the ground disappeared into the trees. Adramelech shivered as he imagined having to explain to the prince how he managed to allow all but three of the guardians to get away. He turned his attention upward again. Without their comrades, there would be no escape for those three. Higher position or not. They had sacrificed themselves for the others, and now he would make them pay. As he prepared to give the attack order, the three guardians gave their own war cry. Adramelech resisted the impulse to cover his ears at the thunderous shout. Now all the warriors turned their attention upward, startled that just three guardians could produce such a deafening roar. Adramelech's attack order lodged in his throat as he reassessed the situation. Would three lone guardians commit suicide by diving into a horde of warriors? In a symphony of crackling branches, the guardians in the trees exploded on the clearing from all sides. But rather than a direct attack, they shot through the clearing in a crisscross pattern, sending the confused warriors stumbling backward into one another, flummoxed by the unconventional attack. But no guardian laid a hand on any warrior. By the time Adramelech realized it wasn't an attack, but a distraction, all the guardians had once again disappeared into the trees. His eyes darted upward toward the three. Gone! Adramelech slammed his sword to the ground. When the prince returned, Adramelech was glad to see his effort to capture Gabor had failed. Perhaps the prince would be less eager to punish Adramelech for his own failure.
The guardians escaped, he admitted, but they won't get far. I sent three search teams. If they retreat to the west...
They won't, said the prince. These guardians will never leave their charges.
He peered into the trees.
They're close. Call the search teams back. Have them secure this clearing.
He turned his glare to the humans.
I don't care about the guardians. Our objective is the humans. and we have them now. All we have to do is hold them.
The two spirits approached the doubting, defeated humans.
Do you see it, Ramalek? Your shallow approach, merely tempting them to evil, was reversed in a moment when Kaelin repented. But what I'm doing here, destroying their faith, that will keep them from repentance, so the damage will be permanent. As I said before, this kind falls only through unbelief.
Adramelech picked up a discarded shield and looked it over with a sneer.
It's amazing how weak they are without these, he said as he tossed it aside. The prince nodded.
People will not risk losing everything for something they aren't sure is true.
The prince surveyed the battlefield and basked in the glory of his masterful victory. Not only had he held Abigail, but he had captured five of the ruler's most powerful agents, including one of the chief servers. Approaching footsteps sounded from the dense grove of poplars to the west. Before the prince could turn to see, blinding pain brought him to his knees. Then another blow sent him skidding across the landscape. He tumbled, then slammed into a large peach tree, knocking it down. The warriors drew back. Squinting into the blinding light, some of them began murmuring.
It can't be.
How can this?
Levite stepped forward, sword drawn, fire in his eyes. The warriors backed away from the legendary guardian in a wide radius. Gabor and the other guardians emerged from hiding and returned to their charges. Beside himself with rage, the prince regained his feet. He lifted his sword, ready to bring a world of pain on whatever misguided guardian had presumed to attack him from behind. As his eyes adjusted to Levite's light, he saw beyond the massive guardian to the one who had struck him. A human. The prince nearly dropped his weapon. He shuddered and took a step back.
Levi?
He hissed.
How could he be here?
He recalled his shock centuries ago when he received a similar blow from a boy with a sling. The same terrifying stench of faith that filled the Valley of Elah that faithful day now pervaded this clearing. Abigail pointed to a dense grove of poplars to the west.
Listen, it sounds like someone's coming.
The group scanned the grove until the lone traveler emerged.
Levi!
Kaelin ran and threw her arms around him. Abigail was moved by Kaelin's expression of pure sisterly affection toward Levi, a man she hardly knew. It reminded her of what first drew Adam, the promise of family. The family love she had walked away from. A hole opened in her stomach as another layer of guilt descended on her. After exchanging hugs and stories with the rest of the group, Levi explained why he had come.
My first assignment was to help you. The ruler made it sound urgent, so I came as fast as I could. Doesn't look like I'm needed here from what I can see, but whatever. The ruler knows what he's doing.
When Levi uttered those words, words of simple trust in the ruler's plan, a loud crash echoed through the forest. Everyone turned in the direction of the sound.
What was that? Levi asked.
Sounded like a tree falling, Adam said.
Strange.
Laith turned back to Levi and looked him up and down.
Did you bring a weapon?
Sort of, I guess. The wind gave me a gift when I went through the cottage, and told me it was my weapon.
Levi pushed his hands into his back pockets.
I really don't see how it could be useful in a fight, though. I suppose I'll understand one day. For now, I'm just glad we're not in a war.
Watson and Laith exchanged knowing smiles. Laith put a hand on Levi's shoulder.
Son, you'd be surprised at the warfare that's probably going on right now, here in this clearing, if you could see the spiritual world.
More than probably,
Kaelin said with a weary eye. Levi scanned the quiet, lonely clearing and shrugged.
If you say so.
What's the gift?
Kaelin asked.
Huh?
Your gift, From the wind. What is it?
Oh, right. I'm not sure what to call it exactly. The ruler handed me a little hand-carved chest. When I opened it, it was empty.
Did you notice any changes when you opened it? Charles asked.
Did I ever? When I lifted the top, everything changed. The walls, the floor, the doors, everything in the cottage became...
Levi searched for the word.
Solid. They had seemed real enough before, but when I opened the chest, I realized I had never known what real meant. Suddenly, the things that used to be hard to believe became obvious, and trusting the ruler came naturally.
Shh, I hear something.
Kaelin pointed in the direction of the mysterious crash.
Someone's coming.
The king of the lowlands emerged from the trees, alone, smiling.
Ah, Abigail, I see you found your way out. Good for you.
Abigail wasn't sure if she was glad to see the king, or afraid, or both. His disarming smile broadened, and Abigail was struck by his handsome face and his strong yet gentle movements.
I'm happy for you. I told you before I would never keep you in the orchard against your will, and now here you are.
Abigail gestured to the group.
These are my friends, Charles, Lathe.
I know who they are.
His eyes fixed on Charles.
I make it my business to know everything that happens in my kingdom.
He stepped past Abigail toward Charles. As he passed her, Abigail caught a whiff of the Stay Alert book in her satchel. Embarrassed, she pushed it down in the bag. The king stepped oddly close to Charles.
So you've come to bring Abigail back to the High Country?
Charles set his jaw.
You needn't have, the king said.
He turned again to Abigail.
If it is your desire to return to the High Country, I wish you the best.
With that, he stepped aside and motioned for her to pass. Gabor and Karis stationed themselves between Abigail and the prince. Gabor whispered to Karis,
Be alert. The prince is never more dangerous than when he takes a human form like this. Don't take your eyes off.
The sickening sound of arrows plunging into a human heart made Gabor spin. In an instant, he spotted Anzu concealed in the trees 50 yards behind Abigail. Anzu tried to retreat, but Gabor was upon him in an instant. The evil warrior was ready. With surprising strength, he seized Gabor by the throat. Big Red left Lathe and flew to help Gabor.
No,
Gabor croaked.
Mind the prince.
Gabor had fought many formidable warriors, but rarely had he encountered one with such unrestrained rage and deadly strength. Using his superior speed and skill, Gabor twisted free and circled behind Anzu. He brought his sword down hard on Anzu's back, but the massive warrior kept his feet. The gash seemed only to feed his strength as he turned and countered with a violent upward swing of his own. Gabor dodged, but the strike came so close that he felt the swoosh on his face and knew immediately that if Anzu ever connected, he would be finished. Another slash. As Gabor twisted, Anzu surprised him by dropping his weapon, rushing Gabor and slamming him to the ground. From under Anzu, Gabor glanced at Abigail just in time to see the prince, in his unseen form, draw his bow and set a razor-sharp arrow on the string. He lit the tip on fire and pointed it directly at Abigail's heart. The prince released, and the arrow flew.